Yes, yes, y'all. Another Saturday edition of Real Life, Real Talk from the North to the South, the East and the West. Please do not stress because you must recognize that you are blessed. It's your hostess with the mostest, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, coming live and wild on your radio dial with a smile on my face. Energy to waste. That's right. And if you're looking for inspiration, unity, and community, then watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this. It is guaranteed that you are in the right place. So Real Life, Real Talk Nation, stand up with me. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow. Oh, man, so extremely excited to be in the studio once again. Y'all know how much I live for these Saturdays. No show last week, so we coming with that passion, energy, and thunder this week. And I want to let everybody know that you can download the Horn app. That's right, download the Horn app. Check us in on the website. Visit the Horn website. And take us everywhere that you go. Download these messages from SoundCloud, right? Share them with other people who are in need, right? Don't just be a consumer, but be a producer, right? Because you never know how your life or maybe the words that were said on this radio show could help bless somebody else's life. And that's what we are about, right? We are about leaving things better than the way that we found them. And we have built something and a following, and we want that thing to continue to grow. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening in. So honored to be in the studio today. And I've got something special, man. I want to dive right into it. A lot of things have been on my heart since we last got together, all right? So, you know, this is a show that is for the community. First off, everybody text in 512-337-3776. Let me know what your week has been like. I feel like I haven't reached out to so many people, heard from you all in so long. Yo, give me some insight. What have you been going through? What has life been like for you? Even if you got some great things that have happened to you, yo, share those things. Get them out. Don't keep them inward. Why? Because it can bless somebody else. So send us a text message. Let us know how things are going. But I want to share this because I felt this in my spirit before I approached the booth today. And it's like for somebody who's listening in, you know what it's like to get settled into life, right? You know what it's like to be comfortable, almost like where things are predictable and it's a comforting place for you. And then out of nowhere, right, life hits you with something that is unexpected. Life hits you with a haymaker. Life pulls literally the rug that you are standing on right underneath you. And what once worked in life, now you recognize that it doesn't. You've been through a season of unfamiliarity. You've been through a season, of familiarity. And now you've been thrown into the sea where the steps in life are now leading you into uncharted waters. And you're like, man, what in the world is going on? I'm talking to somebody through the radio waves. You feel where it is that I'm coming from right now. This is you. And I'm saying those things because I'm speaking from my heart. Why? Because that is the situation that I was put through. But I have to take a step back, and I'm encouraging somebody, if you've been going through this or you know somebody who has been going through a situation similar to this where life has been cruise control and then all of a sudden you've lost control, understand that it is oftentimes a positive to be in the work of constantly evolving. When the world gets pulled from underneath you, when things are comfortable, and then you get placed in a situation where you don't know what's next, understand, take a deep breath, and understand that it is a blessing to be in the work of constantly evolving, right? Because when the rug gets pulled underneath your feet, that means it's time for you to continue to grow, to continue to blossom. That means something special is waiting for you on the other side of this thing. But there is a grooming, there is a pruning process that you must go through in order to get there, because what once worked is not necessary to get you to the added level of where life wants to take you to go into infinity and beyond. Like my man Buzz Lightyear used to say, that's right, man. I got a 7-year-old child growing up with that stuff all over again. But in order to go to that infinity and beyond, in order to get to that higher level, there's some pruning that has to take place. And so I don't want everybody to get so downtrodden when things that once worked no longer work. The way of living that once fit and what once was comfortable is no longer the standard in which you have to go by today. You are going through those things because life is trying to take you to another level. But in order to get to that added level, in order to get to that added place, yo, you got to shed some skin like the snakes do to be able to become that new you, to be able to go further and advance, right? So understand that process, that it is a blessing to be constantly evolving and know that if something is not working now, right, it just means that life is prepping you for something greater in the future. All right. So build an appetite for greater knowledge about life. Those things are going to build your character, right? It's going to build your relationships. It's going to build you to have a season of openness in your life. You just have to just not quit and keep pushing. All right. So be patient with yourself as you're going through this season and allow a level of humility to press over your spirit, press over your mind. All right. You will be blown away about how it is that you look at this thing afterwards once you make it through the season that you are going through. And I say that thing because that's something that I was going through. And it's like, man, I have to sit back and remind individuals because people get so upset. They get so angry. They say, why me? Woe is me type attitude. No, 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 no. Why not you? Because it's time for you to go to that next step and that next added phase in your life. All right. So apply that principle as you're continuing to work through life throughout today and pushing into next week. All right. Be excited about being able to constantly evolve. For me, I say that statement because I got to a place this week, over the last couple of weeks, honestly, where, MS has been a little bit more difficult for me. I've been struggling a lot more. This is me just being honest and open, real life and real talk nation. Mentally, I've started to struggle a lot more with remembering things for whatever reason. You know, it could be fatigue. Maybe I'm pushing myself more. Maybe I'm not taking care of myself. Maybe not eating the right. You know, it could be a multitude of things or just growing older with the disease. Brain fog and memory issues are a product of me being a multiple sclerosis patient. And outwardly, I was afraid to, say something to my wife because that was going to present a season where the rug may get pulled underneath me. I may have to answer a lot of questions. I may have to evolve and start having some direct conversations that I may not be comfortable with having. So understand what I said previously is because I've been going through that thing and I want to encourage somebody who will encounter that obstacle in the future. And so I was hit with a season of fear over my heart, worried about how, I was worried that if I spoke about what I was experiencing internally with MS mentally, that it would cause my body to break down further at a faster rate physically, right? Have you ever been scared that, you know that this thing is something that you're feeling, especially those of us who have a sickness or are going through something, but the moment you start talking more about it, like, yeah, I'm feeling a little fatigued, or yeah, my body is kind of achy on the right side, or man, my energy level is not necessarily where it needs to be today. You're afraid that if you start speaking that, your body's going to do a reverse on you, and those things are actually going to happen at a more rapid and progressive rate. That was me. And I had to get to a place where I depended on MS warriors, a level of circle of influence, friends who were centered around me to be able to help me to speak about what it was that I was going through so that I could push that outwardly towards my wife so that she could be better equipped with knowledge to help me while I'm going through my go through. Right. So encourage people who's in your circle of influence. Right. Who are those people that are in your corner that you can have those direct conversations with to help lift you and pull you through the season that you are going through, right? Fear, face everything and respond. I'm telling you, your boy TC had to face everything about what I was experiencing mentally and face it and meet it head on and express those things to my wife. Get it all out there on the table. Doesn't mean MS is progressing further in me, but what it does is it creates an opportunity or an avenue for my wife to be able to help me through what it is that I'm going through. All right. And so write this down, ladies and gentlemen. Facing realities of certain adversities can be painful, right? It can be a rough experience, but understand this, and this is what I wrote down. This is what hit me in my chest. I had to say, Tyler, understand that pain is something that gives birth to understanding and clarity in life. Let that marinate on the cerebellum for a second, all right? The pain that we go through oftentimes gives birth to understanding and clarity in life, but you won't know it unless you start opening up and speaking to or with others about what it is that you are going through so that they can help you through it. Face everything and respond. Don't run from the pain. Express it so that other people can help lift you and pull you out of it. And y'all know me, I always catch you up on the things that are going through this week. The format for me is a little bit different. All of that prior was just something that was on my spirit, and I felt like I had to share it, man. This week I had the amazing opportunity to speak through the Athleta, to speak with the Athleta organization, man. And if you're not familiar, Athleta, they're based out in L.A. They help prepare and guide student athletes into the next phase of life, all right? Those individuals who know what it's like to just struggle to getting to the next phase, you don't know what your identity is. As a student athlete, you probably have been programmed, right, to think that sports is the only avenue that you have as a human being. And Athleta works with individuals to say, wait, nope, that's not it. And so I'll have the chance to be on San Diego State's mock interview sessions, preparing student athletes, putting them through the questions so that they could be better equipped to walk into a situation where they are now, you know, interviewing for a job interview. And there was a lady by the name of Terry Billion who was on that call. And I read about her, looked her up on LinkedIn. I stalked her, and I recognized that she was a part of this Athleta organization. And what I want to tell people is, like, yo, you have a tug on your spirit to act. Do yourself due justice and act on what it is that you're feeling, because it can make way for you to block down and open, or better yet, open up doors of opportunity. We will miss 100% of the shots that we never take, guaranteed. Write that down. You will miss 100% of the shots that you never take. You're going to have to take some chances on yourself. So I said, Mio, I'm going to shoot my shot. I'm going to reach out to Terry. I want to learn about Athleta. But watch this. When you shoot your shot, figure out how it is that you're going to add value towards the people that you are shooting your shot to. Don't just shoot the shot. Think about how what you can do will add value, because if you can add value, the door will be opened up unto you in life. And I told Terry about me being a speaker. I said, why don't you try me out, Terry? Let me do some free videos for Athleta for whatever things you have coming forward. And if you like the videos, perhaps we can partner up and I can be a part of some things. And if you need a speaker, yo, I will be live and deliver. Terry gave me a shot. I sent her some videos. She hit me up and she said, yo, Tyler, you can go ahead and do some promo videos for us. There'll be an opportunity for you to speak moving forward in the future for us. So I did free videos. I over-delivered. When you get that opportunity, ensure that you over-deliver. Do more than what is required. And they allowed me to do promos for their June 17th Branches Without Roots program in honor of Juneteenth, which is a segue of storytelling that they will use. Other athletes tell their stories of upliftment, encouragement, adversity, and making the change over to the workforce with the hope of giving these young student athletes in colleges across the country the belief that they can go out and succeed within this country. Their core pillars as an organization are integrity, resilience, and authenticity, y'all. So you know they walked well with your boy TC. And I love the Branches Without Roots slogan because it comes from the author Zora Neale Hurston. And it signified that, you know, African Americans went through a transitioning where they weren't able to enjoy their freedoms fully after slavery had ended because their families were extended all throughout the country, right? People's families were broken up. So I love the imagery and the quote that is used for this Branches Without Roots program, because they are acting as the fulfillment of the organization that can help build that level of family for people to extend those branches and embed some roots into the lives of young student athletes across the board. All right. This is Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks. I'm going to catch y'all on the other side of this break. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We're going to be talking about how to win the race of success in life. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow. Before I let you go. Yes, yes, y'all, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Real Life, Real Talk, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, Tyler Campbell coming live and direct to you. Oh, man, I love it. I love it. We are sponsored by the Frankie Beverly Maze playlist this morning. I had to pull Frankie Bev out because of that music that they make you feel, man. Before I let you go, I got to tell y'all, listen, Real Life, Real Talk 100, that song is guaranteed to be played at every maybe black wedding or any type of a black family reunion. Yo, that is our go-to song, man. So if you don't know anything else before stepping into that environment, yo, get your popcorn ready, because that is a song that you are guaranteed to hear. I always love Frankie Bell, man. I always wanted to be able to go see them in New Orleans at the concert that they have. I believe it's Essence Fest every year. And, man, just great music. So y'all mellow out and listen in and love Frankie Beverly Maze. You know, punch them in on your iTunes. Great music. And Miss TC Speaks, Real Life, Real Talk Nation. As I was telling everybody before getting out here, the format is different this week on the show. I had so much to give in that first segment. I just really felt the need to address some people who are going through certain things in life, but it is preparing them for added level of growth. And I want to make sure that people are ready to receive that and to not get so downtrodden, but understand that the pruning process in life is preparing you for something greater. But you have to be ready, and you have to get an understanding that there's going to be some rough patches along the lines to get the growth. And before getting into our next segment, I have to do my shout out of the week. Big John just reminded me. He's like, yo, TC, you forgot to do the shout out of the week. Don't worry, Big John, I got you covered. Hook you up like a tow truck. All right, this week's shout out of the week comes from the Twitter handle CaliBloodline81. This week I was showcasing a lot of imagery because people had reached out to me via DMs. I'm at TCSpeaks32, and everybody knows I'm the first person to ever play Division I college football with MS by the grace of the man up above, not my own, and teammates who helped me along the way. And so what I did this week and last week a little bit as well is I've started to show clips of proof because people are like, man, I ain't seen you play ball. We heard you suited up. So I showcased images of proof, video of proof of when I was playing ball and some highlight clips, my pro day, all this stuff doing while with MS. And a gentleman from who's the co-head coach at Desert Edge High School, y'all, Real Life, Real Talk Nation, you never know who you can touch. In Phoenix, Arizona, he stated, I have an autoimmune disease, so I know exactly where you are coming from. Thank you so very much for sharing your walk with MS. It's real inspiring. It's real talk. And I appreciate you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, not to brag on myself, what I am encouraging people is to be open about what life has for you and the journey that you have walked through life. Don't just keep it to yourself. Why? Because somebody needs to hear from you how you made it through. I'm going to say that again so you can catch it. Somebody needs to hear from you about how you made it through. That's why your life is important, and that's how this country gets made the better. Whenever you are fortunate enough to climb through struggle, to go through pain and strife, and make it out of the other side, you have to share that. You have to share that because somebody needs to hear it who is down on their last dime, down on their last leg, don't know how to get up, don't know where the help is going to come from. Recognize that you are that help. Be the vessel, be the beacon of light in the world filled with so much darkness, ladies and gentlemen. It is on you. So shout out to the Cali Bloodline. I want to tell my man Big John, we got to get into it. Cue that TC Speaks, please. Good, 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 man. Thank you very much. Y'all know how we do it. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, and we can grow. All right? For me, the topic, write this down for today, how to win the race to success. How to win the race to success. And for me, the analogy of race and success came to be because my 7-year-old son, Messiah, is running track for the Austin Stratus Track Club. So I go to a lot of track meets on the weekends with my child. And as I'm looking to watch all these kids run, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the track is teaching you so much as a human being. It's teaching you how to fight through adversity. If you're on a relay team, it's teaching you how to value teamwork, because if you don't work as a team, the baton doesn't make it all the way around. It's teaching you how to be accountable for yourself. You know, when you're on the track, it's you and other competitors. Yo, it's on you to finish the race. And so for me, I saw the analogy of trying to achieve success for a person, how much of that parallels to the track and field work, the track and field game. All right. So and before I give you the three principles, the first thing that you have to ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, is do you understand the definition of success? A lot of times people think that there's a one-all-fit-all definition of success. You know, your success to you may be different than what it is for your brother, your coworker, your friend, other family members, people you come in contact with. Success looks differently. And I think a lot of times people get off to the wrong foot when with this word success because they're comparing it to other people. They're comparing it to maybe athletes or entertainers or people who are in other facets of their life that they look to or seem to come in circles around on a continued basis. Don't get me started on what you see on social media. You first and foremost, to achieve success, have to figure out what success looks like for you and only you, ladies and gentlemen. So define what success looks like for you, because if you don't define it for yourself, you're going to miss out on the blessings and the good things that do happen for you in life because you're too busy comparing success to others, or you're too busy looking at the big thing that you miss the small things in turn. It's great to have the goals. You've got to have the goals. But what about the steps? What about the marks? What about the finish lines that are crossed on the way to meet that successful goal that you have for yourself? Because those are successful things, too. A lot of times people get bogged down because they're not where they want to be in life. True, yo, it's a journey. But what about all the things that you do have? What about the things that you have come across? What about the things that you utilize daily in your life? You're walking, you're talking, your ability to feel, your ability to love, your ability to get one account today, your ability to go in and be able to do a dynamic work or word of advice to somebody who may need it. Yo, that is success as well, and you can't miss out on those things. Don't get caught up in entertainment success. Don't get caught up in athlete success. Don't get caught up in your neighbor's success. What does success look like for you? That's the first thing you got to understand when we're trying to figure out how we go about winning the race to success. Define success clearly for yourself. But then after you define your success, as we use the parallels of what track and field teaches you when running the race, the first and foremost thing that you'll notice when sprinters get into the blocks before the race even starts, you have to understand that your reaction coming out of the blocks oftentimes is what is going to dictate you crossing the finish line with first place. It starts with your reaction. From the sounding of that gun, your ability to react and get out of the blocks and into the mode of sprinting is everything. There are different phases to the sprint work, but it all starts with your reaction. And reaction for me, I define it simply as this. And a lot of my definitions, y'all got to understand, they are TCSV. That's right. They come from the Tyler Campbell standard version of the dictionary. And I define reaction simply as this. One's ability to respond to a situation or circumstance. One's ability to respond to a situation or circumstance. Jim Hines is possibly one of the greatest sprinters that does not get talked about in the history of American sprinters. Yo, shout out to Jim Hines. I'm partial to him because he's from Oakland, California. Born and raised from Oakland, California. If you listen to this show, y'all know I've had my wife on here. I speak highly of her. Shanna Campbell, I love you. My wife is from Oakland. So you say you're from the Bay Area, you know, you got a heart for me. My wife grew up San Fran in Oakland area. Jim Hines grew up in Oakland, California, went to high school in Oakland, California, and started to have accomplished great things while in the track and field segment in Oakland, California, which landed him to have a scholarship to Texas Southern University right down here in Houston, Texas, y'all. The significance of Mr. Jim Hines, ladies and gentlemen, is after turning professional, he was the first person to ever run below a 10 flat in the 100-yard dash. He was the first person, in the 100 meters, he was the first person to ever go below 10 flat. It had never been done before. Jim Hines did it at the 1968 Mexico Olympics, and he did it in front of the world to see. The world had always said that the human heart would not be able to take the grueling pressure of what the body would have to go through to be able to run a 10 flat. All right. Similar to a lot of the things that people said about running underneath a 4-minute mile back in the early 50s, 40s and 30s, human beings said that it could not be done. They put a cap on what it could possibly be. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but somebody out there, I said it on social media the other day, you have a goal, you have a vision of what you want to accomplish, and you've heard people say, no, you can't do that. Stop giving in to what other people's vision or callings are that they're putting on over your life, because it's not true. You have your own purpose, you have your own vision, you have your own calling, and it does not matter if the rest of the world can't see it. What matters is that you understand it and you want to walk it in and of itself. In the early 50s, man, there's a gentleman by the name of Roger Bannister who was the first person to ever run underneath a 4-minute mile at 3 minutes and 59 seconds. And what's funny or ironic about that is 6 weeks after Bannister did what the world said could not be done, another gentleman who was an Austrian by the name of John Landy broke his time at 3 minutes and 57 seconds, beating what was once done by Roger Bannister 2 seconds faster. Right. So you fast forward to 1968. You've got my man Jim Hines. He's lining up in the Mexico Olympics of 1968, an Olympic scene that was filled with so much controversy because of what had happened in the States here with civil rights and the treatment of people of color, specifically black people within this country. So all black sprinters were coming into this event, i.e. John Carlos, on a mission to represent for the people and to show the world what black people could do and show the world that what people of color, better yet, could do, and show the world that America was on the rise of trying to get out of the funk that they had been in to treating people with equality. Hence, you had people like John Carlos get on the metal stand holding up a fist. You know the history scene. But Jim Hines, ladies and gentlemen, is the one that often gets overlooked. And he was able to run this 989 that he ran officially. They later came back with controversy saying he ran a 995 because timers had said that, yo, he ran too fast. He couldn't have ran that fast. Remember people's ideology and mindset of what they thought could be done by the human or couldn't be done by the human body. But what I want people to pay attention to is the thing that allowed Jim Hines to break that record was his ability to have reaction, his ability to think quick, his ability to get out of the blocks and understand that the race is already decided. You should have in your mind the count of the gunmen who has the gun in the air, who's starting the race. If you talk to track and field athletes, they'll tell you that there is an average of 2 seconds or 2.5 seconds between that gunman starting the gun when he says, on your mark, get set. You got 2 to 2.5 seconds. And so knowing that, it enhances your reaction time. There's some work that we have to do as human beings to react quickly whenever we are given opportunity or whenever problems arise. How quick can you react to solve the problem, or how quick can you react to add value to whatever industry that you are going in? Here's the deal. When problems arise and we don't address them as human beings, you'll notice that they are little bites, little tugs, little setbacks that if they aren't addressed, it will give way to when the floods of life come crawling in and they will wipe you out because you fail to react early and solve the problems. That's what I'm telling you all about reaction. You've got to be able to look at life and react quickly whenever a problem arises, or react quickly whenever somebody is in grave need of something, so that you can jump in and add value, or so that you can jump in and correct the problem so that it doesn't become something that hits you later on down the road and destroys everything that you've built for. How quick can you react to the problems that life presents to you, and how quickly can you react to add value when necessary, when somebody is in need of something, so that they can further propel you in the direction of life that you are choosing to go through, whether it's a father, whether it's a parent, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a coach, whether it's a friend, whether it's a neighbor. How quickly can you react to what you see in life? And it will save you in the long run. Have your reaction. Catch you guys on the other side of this break, talking about how to win the race to success. Take us out, B. John. Yes, y'all. Welcome back to another segment of Real Life, Real Talk. Man, hope y'all are doing well. Thank you for your messages coming in. Thank you for pouring into the show. Love y'all and respect y'all. Are adding so much value, man. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Getting into this next segment, yo, listen, if you're just tuning in, 512-337-3776, send us a text message here at 104.9 The Horn, The Zone. Let us know what you're thinking of the show. I'm at TCSpeaks32. We are live. We are local. We are digital. Download the SoundCloud app. Download all the messages of Real Life and Real Talk that you can. Share them with other people. Listening to The Horn. Tune into all the shows we have. An amazing Saturday lineup. And we've just been talking about how to win the race to success, and letting people know. First and foremost, if you're tuning in late, the first thing that you have to do to win the race to success is you have to define clearly to yourself, what does success look like? Because if you don't, you'll miss all the blessings that are coming into your life leading up to whatever it is that you're striving for. So understand and have a clear mind of clarity for what it means or what success looks like for you. And then the first thing you have to do, if you're looking at a sprinter, if you're looking at people who are running track and field, the first thing that you have to do is you have to be able to react whenever the gun goes off. And in the last segment, we talked about Jim Hines, who's the first person to ever run underneath 10 seconds in the 100 meters. People said that it couldn't be done. What I was imploring for people to understand is the way the race was done, the way he was the first one to do it, was it started with his reaction out of the blocks to when the gun starts. And I want to encourage people that whenever you are going down the avenue of chasing a goal for yourself, your reaction is what propels you down that road of achieving that goal, of achieving whatever it is that you're desiring in your life. How quickly can you react and allow that reaction to propel you to get closer to your goal? And the reaction is everything, right? And before you react, a lot of times the way these sprinters, if we're looking at track and field, the way a sprinter is able to react so fast is because they have already done their homework on the person who is starting the gun. Y'all stay with me. The person who is starting the gun, who signed off, who's going to sound off and let them know when to go. After talking with coaches, people who have been in the track and field game, shout out to Howard Ware, a mentor of mine, leader of the Austin Striders Track Club. He would say that the starter has a rhythm. The starter, if you are watching him throughout the course of the day, you know that the starter has a count in their head in which they're going to sound that gun. The starter is predictable. So you have to do research before you get into the blocks. That way it allows you to react quicker. And nobody goes down the line of indulging in an endeavor that they are choosing to put their heart into without first and foremost doing the research on it first. And then after you've done the research, y'all stay with me, ladies and gentlemen, let it marinate on your cerebellum. After you've done the research, right, that's what allows you to get into the game and excel. So do the research. And after you've done the research, ladies and gentlemen, it allows you to react. And when you've got your reaction and now you've gotten yourself going, it is imperative that you are prepared to enter into the second phase, which is drive and adjust. Okay, you've reacted. That's number one. Number two, you have to be able to drive and adjust. Running this race towards success is going to be a fight against gravity. Yo, you've got to stay low. You can't rise up too high because you'll get hit with adversity. You're going to get hit with people who say you can't do this. You're going to get hit with bills in terms of those things mounting up and you feeling like you can't maneuver and get to the next phase because your money is tight. You're going to get hit with things like your children and your work days getting so full that you don't have the opportunity or you feel exhausted that you can't get to the goal that you have for yourself. So when you come out of your reaction, yo, I'm encouraging people, yo, stay low so you can protect yourself. All right. And you're going to have to fight through gravity. All right. Because it's going to be pushing at you. So you got to maneuver your angles and how you do things in life so that you can continue pouring down the road towards your goal that you are striving for. All right. It's going to require everything that you have. Gravity is at your face. Opposition is at your face as somebody who has a goal, somebody who wants to be a better parent, somebody who wants to be the best that they can be on their job, somebody who wants to be somebody who is a pillar in the community. There is going to be opposition that is going to push back at you. Gravity is going to push back at you. So I'm telling you, yo, get your head down, keep your torso tight, get your arms ready, because you're going to have to fight through all of those things in order to be able to propel after you've reacted. All right. So you've got to be able to drive. You've got to be able to drive. And when I think about individuals who are on the track and field spectrum who have an amazing drive, yo, I thought of a woman hailing from Los Angeles, California. Her name is Carmelita Jeter. Carmelita Jeter. And she is a phenomenal, phenomenal 100-meter specialist who is now retired now. In the history books, she has three of the top 10 100-meter times of all time. Her time of 10.67 seconds to run 100 meters is still the second fastest time of all time by a woman athlete running the 100 meters. But when I look at Carmelita and when I was able to analyze how she runs her 100-meter race, you'll see that her arms, her torso, she is tight. And she gets ready and she puts on, like, she has a level of emotion when she crosses the finish line. Like, you can tell she gets out of the blocks and she's driving and she's pushing and she's trying to get it. You can literally feel it when you watch her run the race. It takes everything that she has for those first 20 meters, giving everything that she has that sets the standard of what the finished race is going to be. And the question that I have for a lot of people is, how much of a rhythm can you get down for yourself to consistently put in place for you to drive through the adversity that you are experiencing in life right now? Let that marinate on somebody's cerebellum. Think about that thing for a second. All right. How much of a rhythm, how much of a plan, how much of an understanding do you have that you're going to need to put together day in and day out to be able to punch through the adversity or the gravity, the pulls that are waiting for you in pushing down the standard towards accomplishing what it is that you want to accomplish? But not only do you have to be able to drive. This second phase is important because after the drive, you're also going to recognize that you have to adjust. You know, when I look at athletes and when I look at people in general, nothing ever goes as according to plan. Sometimes it does. And when it does, it's a breath of fresh air. It feels great. Don't get me wrong. It feels great. But very rarely in life do things work out the way that you want them to. Similar to a play drawn up in football. I think people who are really able to excel at the game of ball are the ones who are able to improvise. You know, Tom Brady being able to stare down not the first read, the second read, but ultimately he makes a pass to the fourth read. He's able to maneuver and adjust to whatever the play was drawn up to. He has to make magic. He has to turn water into wine. You know, when you're running in the rock as a running back, you go downhill, you press the hole. The hole could be going into the six hole, which is the on the right-hand side, which is three gaps over the six hole. It could be designed to go that way. But if somebody misses a block, or if a D lineman shoots a gap, or if there's more penetration from another area, yo, you got to have the wherewithal to improvise and to be able to adjust. The same is true when it came to the track and field level. All right. When you're running this race, you have to be able to take into account that the wind may be blowing in your face. Or better yet, it may be out of your back. So how do you handle your steps moving forward? Are you able to count those things and know where it is that you're supposed to be able to be? What type of rhythm can you put forth into yourself as to how you're going to be able to, number one, drive, and then getting into a mindset of being able to adjust so that you can see it fit that you run the race that you have crafted up in your mind to race? It's not always the people who come up with an effective plan, I've learned, that always end up succeeding in life. I feel it's the people who are better yet able to adjust and adapt, right, to be able to continue to press towards what it is that they want to. Sometimes you'll see in life that people are, when things don't work out the way that they planned them, they have that type of personality. When something new comes their way that they weren't prepared for, they crumble. They crumble. And I feel like you can have everything made up in your mind how you want things to go. But I'm just asking people, as you're traveling down this road to success, be ready to life for life to throw you a haymaker that's going to cause you to adjust. You know, it's like life will slowly kind of lull you to sleep if you get into this routine. You know, Muhammad Ali would jab people, jab people, jab people, jab and move, jab and move, jab and move. It's almost like he's lulling you to sleep. And then, boom, he'd hit you with that overhand, or he'd hit you with that cross or that uppercut. All right. And that's what life will do. All right. You'll get put into the standard where everything is kind of consistent. All right. You get this routine. And then you have to be able to adjust. All right. You have to be able to adjust to be able to power through and work through whatever it is that gravity or opposition is putting in front of you. So it's not always the person who comes up with the most effective plan that ends up getting down the road to success. For me, I feel it's the person who's able to divert from their plan at the drop of the dime, who's able to improvise, who's able to do something that is out of the character that still allows them to get through where most people will be able to get stalemated at the drop of a dime. You know, that's why I love people like Wayne Brady, man. Like, Wayne Brady is probably one of the most dope people that I know. Those of you who don't know Wayne Brady, you can Google him. He used to be on the show Whose Line Is It Anyway? He is an improv master. You can give him a script. You can tell him what to do. You can you can literally draw things up one way. And then if you're talking to him, or I've seen him on radio shows do it. If you say, hey, Wayne, do this. And he can actually do this at the drop of a dime. He can be somebody who improvises. He can be somebody who still succeeds, even though it goes opposite the direction of what he drew things up to be. All right. You've got to be willing to drive, but you also have to be willing and open to adjust to be able to continue to run the race of success with life, or the race to achieve success in life. So for everybody who's listening in, you've had the plan, right? You've put it together masterfully. Now life has dealt you something that's causing you to adjust. Ask yourself, is the world crumbling around you? Are you upset? Or are you going to be somebody who picks up their shovel, adjust because things didn't work out the way that they want to, and still get behind yourself to see it through? Real life, real talk nation. Drive and adjust. Catch y'all on the other side of this break, and we'll get into principle number 3 of how we run the race to success. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow. Welcome back, Real Life, Real Talk Nation. It's your host, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks. We are talking today about how you run the race to success effectively, right? And we walk through the principles defining what success is. Then number one, like a track and field athlete, you have to have a quick reaction about yourself to be able to address problems or see things through, tackle things so that they don't manifest and bog you down. And just like a sprinter, because I'm using track and field as the analogy to cope with making people be able to grasp these things, you then have to be able to drive and adjust. If you look at a sprinter, after they make that quick reaction, yo, they drive. They're in that driving phase of pushing through opposition. And then they adjust simultaneously because the race may not go the way that they want it to while they're in this phase. And at the drop of a dime, they've got to be able to adjust. In life, things don't work out the way that we plan over again. You've seen it. This is not anything new. The question is, how quick can you adjust to be able to see those things through? Or do you have the mindset that when things don't go working as planned, you crumble? And what I want to encourage people is that is something that you have to work on and work through. And you have to develop a rhythmic routine for yourself to be able to push through the opposition. Because if you don't, you won't finish this race. All right. So after you've gone all through those things, I'm going to go a haymaker with you guys. I'm going to give you actually two principles to close out this last segment. Normally I have three, but y'all, I'm feeling the mood this day. So I'm going to give you two more. And that makes a total of four to run the race to success. If you look at a sprinter after they've drive and adjusted those next 20 meters, everything else from that in the 100 meter dash is about acceleration. Acceleration in the Tyler Campbell standard version of the dictionary is simply this: increase in speed. All right, you've got to be able to accelerate. You've got to be able to take your life and add it and put it in another gear when going towards success. You've got to push yourself further, and you've got to go faster than what you've ever done before, because what was done previously didn't get you through the race. All right, when we're going towards success, you're listening in because you're trying to get through this race and get to the finish line like you never have before. So then we got to work on your acceleration. You got to be able to pick them up and put them down. And when it comes to the track and field game, I look at somebody like Florence Griffith Joyner, a.k.a. FloJo, the fastest woman in the world, the fastest woman still to this day in certain things, and her records have not been broken. She hails the title. You all talked about Carmelita Jeter the last segment, who ran a 10.67 in a 100-meter dash. Yo, FloJo in the 80s cranked out a record that is still not gotten beaten to this day. She went 10.46 in the 100-meter dash, a record that still has not been broken today. All right. But what you notice about FloJo is not only did she have the drive, not only did she have the ability to adjust, it was her top line acceleration. Yo, FloJo ran at the top speed of 24 miles per hour at her tops in the 100 meter dash. 24 miles per hour, y'all. Y'all know how fast that is? 24 miles per hour. She's beating cars down the road. She would hit an astonishing 2.40 meters in a single stride. One stride from FloJo covered 2.40 meters. That is a longer stride than some male athletes, right? But not only could she accelerate, she had the capability to really be relaxed as a sprinter. And that is a phase in which we don't talk about when it comes to life, right? Whenever adversity strikes, your relaxation, your ability to calm yourself down, your ability to get to a place of being able to calm yourself down and be able to think with things clearly is what oftentimes saves you and allows you to continue to accelerate. All right. Sometimes I've been giving presentations. The slides may not come up. All right. Sometimes the microphone goes off and you have to adjust and you have to be able to still do things and accelerate and deliver a message that still hits people in the chest with passion, energy, and drive. How quickly can you accelerate through that when things don't go as planned, like we talked about in the adjustment phase? It is acceleration. And you know, listen to me, I'm going to tell y'all, you know you have found something special in life when you can do things with great haste as well as flawless execution. When I looked at FloJo and the way that she was able to accelerate past runners in the 100-yard dash, I noticed that she was relaxed. I noticed that it was about flawless execution for her. And you could tell that she was walking and doing the thing that she was supposed to do with her life by how easy it made it. She made it look. What is the avenue that you can do or be in and do it with flawless execution? Matter of fact, you make it look easy. If you have not found that thing, I'm here to challenge y'all. Y'all are in the wrong lane in life. You're not doing and being what it is that you're called to do with life. If you can't get to a place where you can execute flawlessly and with great haste, when you're doing this thing, it looks to the other people on the outside looking in that it is done with ease. When you're operating in that, I'm here to tell you that's how you've discovered the gift over your life, or the purpose and the calling over your life. I want to give more clarity, because sometimes people are still searching for the purpose. People are still searching for the gift. Flawless execution. When you play back the films and watch FloJo run, she is relaxed. Her feet looks like she's almost walking on air, but she's executing at a high rate of speed. Obviously, she's running with a stride of 2.40 meters and 24 miles per hour. Yo, she's a trendsetter. There are parallels between track and field and the way that you can approach life. Listen, y'all, FloJo was so dope back in the day. She was the first woman to ever approach the track, and she had nails, right? She had these long nails. She had her colors. She would have her own swag. She would have her own style in which she would have tights on one leg, and then her other leg would be open. No tights on the other side. She'd have her hair done beautifully. Like, she was creating that level of swag for a female athlete. Yo, the swag was so dope that even Beyonce had to duplicate it back in 2018 with her own Halloween costume with her husband Jay-Z, where she dressed up as FloJo. Yo, she was that elite person, and she is somebody who epitomizes what it is that we need to look for as individuals in relationships, when solving problems, when going through the life of an entrepreneur, when trying to put things out into the world. You have ideas, when trying to do things on the quickness and efficiency with work, it is going to require an added level of acceleration. And your acceleration can oftentimes determine what the difference between the W and the L when running the sprint at the 100 meters, but also in life. Yo, if you can't accelerate through and execute at a high level, somebody else is going to put their idea on the table before you do. Somebody's going to put their proposal on the boss's desk before you do. Somebody's going to take hold of the leadership position before you do. And then you sitting back twiddling your thumbs because you missed out on the opportunity. Accelerate, ladies and gentlemen. And then after you accelerate, yo, you got to finish. You got to finish. The acceleration isn't enough. You got to close that thing down. You got to finish it, baby. You got to get to the finish line, and that race has to be yours. You can't let somebody else come get you because you operate in a level of complacency because you felt like you accelerated at this rate. Nobody else can keep up with you. You've got to have your eyes on the prize. You got to be staring down the barrel. You got to have your head fixated forward, focusing on that lean and that finish once you come close to the line. And the finish, again, Tyler Campbell's standard of the dictionary, is just the completion of a task in which a person starts. The completion of a task in which a person starts. Jesse Owens is what I would consider the greatest sprinter to ever live. Not just because of the things that he did on the track, but because of the things that he had to endure off the track so that people could have a greater opportunity that came up after him and the generations to follow. All right, Jesse Owens went to Ohio State University. He lived off campus, and he was one of the few black athletes at Ohio State University in the 30s. And so you can imagine at this particular time, things were segregated, right? He was not allowed to do certain things. He definitely was not allowed to live on campus with the other athletes. He had to live off campus. But Jesse didn't allow that to hold him back. He was focused on finishing his race to success. He broke down barriers while he was at Ohio State. For example, in 1935, he accomplished 4 world records in 45 minutes. 4 world records at Ohio State University in 45 minutes. And watch this. He still was not allotted a track and field scholarship from Ohio State University. But he wasn't set on that. He had a mission, and he was focused on finishing. Jesse's talent gave way to him have a berth in the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And yes, if you know your history, obviously you know Berlin, you know Germany, you know that this is during the time of Hitler, you know the world wars are going on, and the segment of what the Olympics stood for the country of Germany was it was going to be Hitler's opportunity to showcase that Germany was the elite, that the way that he was wanting to shape the world was the right way to shape the world. And of course, he did not think too highly of African-American athletes at that particular time or people of other colors or ethnicities at that time. Not just us. All right. He was dismayed. And I say dismayed at what Jesse Owens was able to accomplish during the Berlin Olympics. 1935, the year prior, four world records. A year later, Berlin Olympics, Jesse Owens, four gold medals. I feel like he's a lost hero in the world of integration, the world of desegregation. You know, we think about people like Jackie Robinson and what Jackie Robinson was able to endure. And, you know, before Jackie Robinson, there was Jesse Owens. And Jesse Owens went through so much to pave the way. But I think the strongest suits of Jesse Owens was not only his personality, but the way he approached the track. It wasn't enough for him to react. It wasn't enough for him to drive and to be able to adjust to adversity. It wasn't enough for him to be able to accelerate and hit top of the line speed. But it was his ability to have a mindset of whatever I start, I will doggone finish. And that needs to be the mindset of everybody. Somebody listening in, you've started something. You've had some monumental ideas in your heart and in your mind that nobody else could conjure up, but you haven't finished them. We do. It's not enough to start. It's not enough to have the great idea. It's not enough to think that you can do this. You have to be willing to run the race and finish. All right. Define what success is. Number two, have reaction. Number three, be able to drive and adjust. Number four, have acceleration. Do things with flawless execution, with quickness in your spirit. And lastly, finish whatever has come over your soul in that, and you operate in that in its fullness and its entirety. So we've been Real Life, Real Talk. Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks. I look forward to seeing you all on the other side next week. Yo, let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow. Peace!